And now, Forward with Falk. Join Scranton political observer Dave Falk and WFTE's Jake Rosen as they navigate their way through the political thicket. Dave, the convention of the Republican Party is over. I don't know if you watched any of it, listened to any of it. People who attended it, reporters who've attended many conventions, said it was the weirdest convention they had ever attended because it was not really a political event. It was more like a cult, a religious cult event. But in any case, there's a result. There was an activity. There was a portrait given to America of what they plan to do, how they plan to do it, and who they plan to be. That you saw. What did you think?
Well, you know, these conventions used to be a lot more than what they've turned into. I can remember watching the 1964 one. What was that, from the Cow Palace that they're in San Francisco, that they were still talking about, the Barry Goldwater one?
Uh-huh.
That was a real watershed for the Republican Party, which, despite the Goldwater debacle, energized that far right wing of the party. But then you had the two Nixon conventions and Gerald Ford, and then you got back into the Reagan ones, which were more normalized. But remember, 4 years ago, you didn't even have much of a convention. It was Donald Trump standing outside the White House.
Well, all right, but that was COVID.
But still, it was, you know, violating the Hatch Act.
Probably. Yes, of course.
And no platform.
Right.
It was just a show. And that's what Trump wants, is a show. His everything is just performance art.
Right.
In the Republican Party now. And J.D. Vance, the heir apparent, is part of the show. When you think of where he was at one time and where he came from and where he's come to, he's out there. And then he got to the sideshows with Hulk Hogan. At least he didn't stand there and talk to a chair like Clint Eastwood did that one time. If you remember that.
I do remember that.
That was the Romney thing.
Yeah.
A whole host of other types of characters speaking. But then they were waiting for the Donald, who was going to, he said he tore up his speech, it was going to be different, and what have you. And I guess for a few paragraphs it was, but, if you're waiting for the new Trump, you're going to be as disappointed as waiting for the new Nixon. It wasn't to be, and he really didn't. But the observers seemed to feel he lacked a lot of energy. He was meandering. To the MAGA crowd, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what he is or what he says. They're all in. The enthusiasm is there for him.
Although I did hear a number of the people who were on the floor, reporters, who said that as the speech droned on, the audience just turned off.
Yeah, but because it doesn't matter to them. They're all in.
Right.
They're all in.
And of course, they do come to be entertained. I mean, if he gave an entertaining speech, they'd pay attention.
Yeah. They gave that cultish spectacle of wearing bandages on their ears.
Right.
Trump pulled that thing with the firefighter's uniform, walking over and kissing it.
Yeah.
Reminds me of that one time when he walked across the stage and hugged the American flag.
Yeah.
At least he didn't. He didn't pick up a, you know, a Bible, although he claimed divine intervention in this. You hear that, you wonder. So, the Lord saved Donald Trump, but murdered an innocent man. You know.
Yeah, and wounded two others very badly.
Very badly.
What do you have in his? What was he thinking?
It's not about thinking, Jake. It's about feelings.
No, I mean God.
Oh, God. they can excuse. They can spin it any way they want.
By the way, did you see the incident that occurred when this woman, who's a lawyer for Trump, who's very important in the California Republican Party, who happens to be a Sikh, gave a benediction at the one of the nights of the event, and immediately, right, MAGA people erupted on social media attacking the Republican convention for allowing a non-Christian to desecrate the convention. Quite well, amazing, quite astounding.
Just, this is what they've come to. You know, freedom
and she's their woman. She's their person. She's one of his lawyers.
Yeah, but freedom of religion, as long as it's their religion.
Their religion, yeah. Yeah. Well, I've never been to a Trump rally. I don't quite understand what the appeal of that speech that he gives is. It's not particularly witty. It's not uplifting. It's not incisive. I really don't get it. I don't know what people are captivated by. Now, I suppose I should try to figure it out, because people are captivated by it. There's something there.
But it's his presence.
His presence?
Yeah.
I mean, the sentences don't make sense, many of them. The paragraphs don't hold together. The ideas are sometimes ludicrous. I mean, one sticks in my mind. He said that 107% of the jobs that were created by Biden were taken by illegal immigrants. How could 107% of anything be taken by anybody? I mean,
like I said, it doesn't matter.
No, it doesn't.
Doesn't matter. It's they'll spin it any way to conform to the cult. There doesn't have to be a logic to it.
No, there's no logic, and that's why arguing facts is irrelevant, because they don't care.
Correct.
They don't care.
Correct.
But that's the cult. Yeah. The cult isn't big enough to elect them. Somehow, you got to be able to speak to people who are inclined toward him, but are not completely religious, and who may therefore have some connection, however tenuous, with reality. Who know that there's never more than 100% of anything. As an example.
Well, the question is, do we have anything in terms of the independents, the folks who are supposed to make a difference in this?
Well, there may be 4% or 5%, right? That's all you need in an election that is settled by 1% or 2%.
Because Trump's got his 46% or so.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, we know that it depends on where they fall in terms
right.
of the states.
Right. And we know that in the final, in the last election, it came down to 44,000 votes over three states.
Right. Even though there was a $7 million, not dollar, vote gap, but five of that
exactly.
million was in California.
Right, right, right. But that's not how the system is set up. This is not a system of majority rule. This is a system of district rule.
Right. Distribution.
Yeah.
Distribution. Meanwhile, on the other side,
but I'll tell you one thing about Trump's speech. I could understand one thing. He speaks. It may make no sense, but it's a speech. It's forcefully delivered. Even if people say, well, this was not as forceful as others. All right. But he was coherent. You could understand his words. He was saying something. He was filled with statistics and facts that were mostly wrong and made up. But nonetheless, if you don't know what they are, and the guy is saying this is what it is, so all right, that's what it is. You heard him. He said it. He was able to make a case. The case was all lies, but he made a case. Public speaking counts.
Yeah, again, it's performance.
It's performance, but
it's the way it appears is more important than what is actually said.
And that brings you to Biden.
Yes.
That brings you to Biden, because Biden could be making great sense. I don't know that he is, but he could be, if you could understand what he said, which is very hard to do at this point.
Yeah, because from time to time, you don't know what you're going to get in terms of forcefulness or completion of thought.
Or three thoughts banging themselves together into one sentence.
Yeah.
And you could figure out what, I mean, if you wanted to, you could say, well, this is what he probably was getting at. That's not good enough. That's not the role of oratory or rhetoric. That's not what, if you study rhetoric, that's not what you're taught to do. You're taught to create an enveloping atmosphere that carries your listener along, and your listener feels this beautiful, and your listener feels uplifted, and your listener feels smarter at the end than at the beginning.
Well, it's a construct.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's...
And it's physical. There's a physical aspect to it.
Yes. Yes. And that's missing.
That's... And not only is it missing, it's not recoverable. Just like when you get old enough, before maybe you could lift 110 pounds with no trouble. And now you're older and you can only lift 80 pounds with no trouble, or maybe with trouble. And it doesn't matter. You just can't do the other 30 pounds. It's not possible. And that's the way it is with public speaking. The words don't flow. They're not even in your head. You know what you want to say. You've forgotten the word. You haven't forgotten the concept, but you can't express it. It's not a condemnation. It's just the way people are. Just like when you started out, you couldn't walk. You had to learn how. There's no sense anybody entering you in a 100-yard dash if you didn't know how to walk. You're going to learn how to walk. Long enough time passes, you'll not be able to walk again. There's no condemnation either way, but you can't do certain things if you don't have the physical ability. That's where Biden is.
Yeah, and the perception is reality.
The perception is reality. That's true. That's true. So I read, after all, nobody calls me to tell me secrets. I read that Nancy Pelosi and Barack Obama and lots of legislators and lots of officials in various state parties and lots of donors are having lots of meetings and lots of discussions and lots of Zoom meetings. And I even heard that Nancy Pelosi said she feels that something will happen in this coming few days or week. What she's talking about is not nothing. Not she's talking about Biden withdrawing.
Yeah. And from the Biden camp, you hear the opposite. You hear some sort of, I don't want to say rage, but certainly a bit of anger at the party, given what he's done over time. But, you know, the momentum certainly is on the idea that he's going to have to get out of the race.
Well, if everybody who's in trouble feels he has to get out to help them, isn't that a big argument for him getting out? And it looks like everybody who's in trouble does have that attitude. Tester wants him out. He made a public statement. Sherrod Brown wants him out. He made a public statement. Schiff, who's not in trouble, says he has to leave to help out the rest of the ticket.
Yeah. So far, Shapiro's sticking with him.
You don't know. He hasn't said anything publicly, but you have no idea what's going on with behind the scenes that he may be, you know, talking about. It's hard to say. I mean, frankly, if the numbers really show that down ticket is in trouble with him and not in trouble without him, why would any state political leader want him at the head of the ticket?
And but what we've been seeing in the polls is that the down ballots are doing better than he is.
They're carrying him.
Yeah. Or the people have just separated the two ideas.
But that's interesting because split ticket voting is way down. I mean, it's very rare these days.
Yeah. Now, in Pennsylvania, we did away with party voting.
Right.
That was the deal to get mail-in votes.
Right.
Expanded. The Democrats would like to get that back. Whether they'll be able to, we don't know, but certainly not for this race.
Not for this race, right.
But Casey is pulling ahead of McCormick consistently. McCormick just doesn't seem to be getting any more traction than that basic Republican vote. Haven't heard anything about our congressional race in terms of polling with Cartwright and his opponent, although I get the feeling that the Cartwright people are cautiously optimistic.
Well, one of the reasons that I think the Republicans are not in evidence as they have been in the past is that the Trump campaign has pulled the money from the ground game in favor of putting the money into challenging the vote. Into having an army of lawyers available to go into court to claim that the vote is rigged wherever they can claim it.
Right. And the RNC is being run by the Trump people solely for the benefit of Trump.
Exactly. So therefore, there's not much of a ground game. I think that's why we don't see so many Trump signs nowadays.
And also, they're just relying on the millionaires to self-fund them, self-fund, like Dave McCormick.
Yeah.
Like the guy in Montana.
Yeah.
Now, there are a couple of Republicans that could be in trouble, possibly Josh Hawley.
Really?
But I wouldn't rely on Missouri, over time right now. I think it's still a fairly safe seat, but we have to see.
What about Hogan? What do you hear about
Hogan's
his race?
Hogan's having problems in Maryland, but that's a Democratic seat.
Right, but he was the ace in the hole for the Republicans.
Yeah, Mitch McConnell said he was the big get.
Yeah,
for them. But it's a different thing to run for Senate versus running for governor.
Okay.
And the Democrats were split, don't forget, in the primary down there.
Right.
But they still seem pretty confident. So we'll see on that seat. I don't know where the Democrats are in trouble in their house. I think they're just feeling that if the Republican enthusiasm comes out, that they could be swamped.
Well, everybody said who was at the convention that the mood at the convention, the Republican convention, was they've won. They're just waiting for the date to roll around so they can move in the furniture.
And that's a dangerous thing to think.
That's right.
We all remember President Dewey.
Right.
And actually, President Hughes, there in the 1916. What was the thing? They somebody called him at night, and the his aide answered and said, "Well, the president has gone to bed." And they said, "Well, you better wake him and tell him he's not the president. California has come in and gone for Wilson." you know, Charles Evans, he was the Supreme Court justice.
Right.
So, you know, you don't.
But
know.
You know for a fact that if whoever the Republican, I mean, whoever the Democrat is who beats, and he beats or she beats Trump, Trump is not going to accept it.
No. We're going to have the same thing.
And it may be more effective this time. Who knows?
Right. You know,
I mean, Kamala Harris will certify the president. There's no question about it. But with the kind of organization that they've created to challenge the vote, by God, in some states they're already challenging the vote, and the vote hasn't started yet.
Well, that's the way the rest, you know. They'll accept the vote in a free and fair election. The definition of free and fair is we win.
Exactly. It's an ex post facto definition.
Right.
Well, so how do you see the contour of the race? Well, what will the Democrats run against?
Well, I think we have a couple of things. They still have the abortion issue.
Mm-hmm.
And the Republican platform and that Project 2025 don't harm that issue for them. We have...
But don't forget, Trump is saying he doesn't know anything about Project 2025,
yeah, but,
doesn't know who's involved, doesn't know what it's about, he hasn't looked at it, hasn't read it, but he wishes them well.
But before the assassination, the 2025 project was starting to be exposed. We have Biden coming out and running against the Supreme Court, which I think has some...
Well, that's right in line with his line that Trump represents a danger to democracy.
Right. So we have, you know, that issue. So you have abortion, 2025, Supreme Court, and I think that they should be running against the millionaires and the billionaires as well. Each individual race is going to be different.
Well, that's always the case. That's not new. But
yeah,
there is a general framing to the party.
Yeah, so I don't know. You know, they're focus groups and framing and all sorts of stuff. That's going to be going on as to what are the key issues, whether democracy continues to sell. The democracy issue played out pretty big in the 2022 congressional races.
Do you find it odd that the centrist candidates are calling on Biden to pull out? The Democratic centrist candidates. Whereas people who belong to the squad or who are part of the Progressive Caucus are big supporters of his continuing.
Yeah.
Bernie Sanders says, I'm a Biden guy.
It is odd.
What do you make of that?
Well, I don't think that they like the centrist, the more left. They think they've taken things away. The centrists have prevented the more left people from ascending in the party.
That may be true, but if the centrists get defeated, then they won't have a majority in the either house. Yeah. They won't be able to introduce any legislation. They won't be able to determine the agenda. So,
well, but the Bernie people are more ideological.
But they won't have any way to even make propaganda for their ideology. They'll just be shut down, or they'll be thrown off the committees. The Republicans will have no compunction.
No.
I mean, it's a little weird to me. I don't. I mean, I get it that they want to be seen as loyal. Maybe they made the decision that that Biden is going to pull through no matter what anybody does, and he'll be beholden to them. And that's okay. That's a judgment. Fair enough. I got nothing against that judgment. And in that case, they would think that maybe he would then be more amenable to pro-worker demands, which in any case, the Democrats should be. Maybe that's what it's all about.
Yeah. Speaking of worker demands, what do you think about the Teamsters president speaking at the Republican convention?
I think it was terrible. I think he gives cover to all of the fascist ideology, because the fascists, and these are what the Trump people are, the fascists claim to speak in the name of the working class. And in fact, they're saying the Republican Party has been transformed from an elite party into a party of white workers. And all the elitists and the intellectuals and the middle class, they're Democrats now. And we speak for the workers. And they speak for the workers like the man in the moon speaks for the workers. They don't speak for the workers. So now if a union president gets up and says anything, really, he covers them. He says they're legitimate in terms of the union movement and the workers of the country. That's political imbecility on the part of the Teamsters president.
Yeah, well, I think it was self-serving.
But what did he get out of it?
Well, I think he's playing to his, a lot of the truckers are, are Trumpers.
And they may well be. He should have been spending the last 4 years explaining why they shouldn't be.
Yeah. But his speech wasn't entirely pro-Trump. I mean,
no, it wasn't.
He was very pro-union.
Yeah.
But it was weird given that Biden went, when there was the strike for the auto workers, Biden went on the picket line, and Trump went to a non-union shop.
Yeah. And Trump, don't forget, in his very first election said, wages should not go up. Workers are making more than they need to be making. They're well enough paid. There's no reason to raise wages. That was a speech. I'll never forget that speech. Mm-hmm. So what do you? How do you expect a guy like that to help you? He's not going to help you. He's just going to fool you. Mm-hmm. That's his point. So why help him to do that? No. Now, I can recall that in the days of Frank Fitzsimmons, the Teamsters were a Republican union. Right? They endorsed Nixon.
Yep. Right.
Hoffa was a Republican.
Yep.
So, I mean, the father, not the son. So, no, very right. bad, very bad.
Right, well, and that goes back to the Bobby Kennedy animosity.
Yeah. Yeah. So, well, the campaign is on. I guess the big news now that we have to watch for is what Biden will do. And what will the Democrats do? Either way, it's a different campaign now.
Right. It's the Biden watch.
The Biden watch. That's exactly right. Well, next week I'm going to ask you for your report about the Democratic women that you met. We didn't have a chance to get to it today. But it'll be interesting to hear what their reaction is to what's going on. They're very important in the Democratic Party and in politics in general.
Yeah, the meeting that I was at this week, there was a lot of enthusiasm, not just among the women. It was the Clark Summit Group, and there was enthusiasm for Biden. We'll just have to see.
We'll have to see. All right, we'll see you next week.
See you next week.
You've been listening to Forward with Falk. Longtime Scranton political observer Dave Falk and WFTE's Jake Rosen discuss politics. Join them again next week, same time, same place.